that are in the room right now that are going through this. I saw a huge plane. It was the size of a person. And I knew it was the Lord's favorite toy. And the plane was flying around. And then I saw these little kids. And these little kids were texting and playing with remote controls. And they had the plane doing cartwheels in the sky. There are 14 of you, that there are people in your life, whether it's your primary relationship, whether it's your children, maybe it's your employer, but there are 14 of you that are in the room that someone else is at the controls right now. And you're trying to fly free, but you feel like these people are remotely challenging you and trying to change your direction. And they have you turning over in the sky. If you're one of them, stand up now. The Lord will set you free.
Absolutely. No longer than the Lord
speaks. Woo! He knows how to
heal.
Stand up. I saw him messing around with you. So, here we go. Heavenly Father, we hear your word. Yeah. We know that you're the one that kept this chapter free.
Yeah.
You give us freedom and liberty and hope. We hear your voice. And your voice alone, Lord. And you are the Lord Jesus Christ.
We are
never ungodly soul ties. That will hinder us and hold us back from the fullness of what we're called to do. Father, right now we sever those soul ties, those ungodly soul ties. That will hinder us, that will keep us down, that will hold us back. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I declare liberty and freedom tonight. Liberty of mind, liberty of heart.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is.
Fill it out in full,
And then you get to go and see Jack at the resource table. And then you can do a debit, hallelujah, a debit glory seed, hallelujah. So I'm telling you, saints, this year is holy ground. You will never, ever find a greater place to sow into the kingdom of God. And maybe one of these days I'll tell you the story of what God did for me in this place. Hallelujah. For those of you who don't know, amen. So are we going to pass them out or bring them up? What are we bring? So come and bring your offerings, hallelujah, to the Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So we hope that you'll all come out and you will bring some young people with you, bring your neighbors with you, bring your friends with you, bring people you think are your enemies, and they'll be your friends before you know it.
Amen, amen.
I'll tell you a little story about that. We got some swans out here on the pond to get rid of the ducks. And because they're supposed to be arch enemies. Well, then don't you know they all landed on Golden Pond and got saved. And now they all like each other.
Woo! We pray for unity.
We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Yeah.
I love it.
Well, it's an exciting start to
we're
tonight.
Have
I know that Dr. Russ is excited about the work that God put in
Just one day, this building. What I can laugh is that there wasn't any there laughing. There wasn't any dark laughing.
One.
Woo!
I know that guy.
I sure hope you're
over it. Thank you, Jesus.
I hope you're buckled up and ready to go for
amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
This is going to be an awesome summer camp.
Yes.
Welcome.
Woo!
What a way to start off. I was just saying to Herschel, I felt like the top was off the tent. I felt like there was an open heaven like I haven't
been
for a long time.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I can't say that I get a whole lot of open visions, but I get some. I get my share, glory to God. Yeah. Press it into more. You know, the young men get vision.
Yeah.
The old men dream dreams.
I'm leaving with you.
Three beautiful open visions right here at the beginning of the open.
We have it all.
It's never happened to me before like that.
Very awesome. Exactly. We have it all.
Wonderful. And I believe that the Lord is getting ready to do something really incredible. Some of you have been paying quite the price. And you know, before I start to share and pass some things out, there are some people that, you know, a lot of people, it takes a lot of people, it takes a lot of help, a lot of hands, a lot of hearts, walking and working together to make this happen. You know, because it's not like we're having 3 days of meetings.
That's right.
Well, this day's going to go from now all the way through to Labor Day. Right? And there's scheduling and logistics and people and brochure. I bet the beautiful brochures, aren't they nice? And the banners and everything that go with it. And, you know, all of the media department, the administration. So many people. And that says nothing about everything that has been done here on camera.
Yeah.
You know, the last, I guess, maybe the last 30 days before camp, ever since we started here 10 years ago or more, have been probably the most intense warfare of the entire year. Every time. It's like every time.
Glory.
But this year, there was a little special intensity. So I'm believing for a little extra blessing.
Amen.
But we were faced with some real special challenges. And you know, as we're going through this, some of you have been going through it these last 30, 60 days. And I want you to know that when camp opens up, the opposition begins to move out of the way. The opposition is all prior to it opening up. That's where the heavy stuff is. Now things are going to break wide open for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But Reed and Victoria and so many others, the interns, the volunteers, Michael and Danny Snyman have been spent a lot of time here. Some of our interns from this Glory House.
Woo-hoo!
So many people have helped and worked on the ground to raise the tents,
yes,
to clear the grounds, to take care of the trees that were down. So many things. You couldn't even talk about all the things that happened. Even all the things that happened this week. Let's give Reed and Victoria and a few big points. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Really a blessing. It takes this is, we have a tremendous outreach in downtown Hamilton. I believe one of the greatest outreaches in all of Ontario, maybe in all of Canada, where we feed 160, 180 people every day that we're open. And we have the programs and the people getting touched and, you know, getting saved, getting set free at the Kingsway Center.
Mm-hmm.
That's our outreach to the street. But the summer camp meetings is our outreach to the church and to the body of Christ.
Amen.
And you know what? They're going to be coming here from all across the country. They're going to come from just about every single province in Canada. They're going to come from the United States, from India, from Africa, from the Caribbean. People are going to be coming from everywhere. And you know, it was only 8 or 10 years ago, if you wanted to go to any kind of camp meetings or extended meetings or fire-filled Holy Ghost meetings, you had to go out of Canada to go there. Now they're coming into Canada.
Amen.
I think this is by far our best lineup, tremendous lineup of speakers. Alistair Petrie is going to be here for a transformation, intercession, training and preparation week. The School of the Prophets and the School of Freedom and Deliverance and Inner Healing. It's going to be just a wonderful time. Stacy and Wesley Campbell are going to be here with us. So many people. If you don't have one of the brochures, make sure you grab one on the way out. And it just seems like the Lord opened up the door and set everything in place for us. So I believe this is going to be by far our best summer camp.
Amen.
So I hope you can come and soak in it. For me, it's the greatest time of the year. Because, you know, as you know, I travel a whole lot throughout the year. But you know what? You can't just travel and keep on pouring out without getting poured into.
Amen.
So I spend the summer here getting poured into. You're going to see that, you know, when people come, they're anointed, they're moving in the anointing, they're moving in the Holy Ghost. You're going to see old Brother Russ up here. He's going to be,
come on.
I'm coming to drink, man.
I'm
going to fill up in the Holy Ghost. I like this. I keep this up. We ain't going to get down to the nitty gritty yet. Tonight, I'm just going to lay a foundation. It's going to be a wonderful time for us. But we're going to see that they're going to build on this foundation all through camp. We're going to see a tremendous summer season of miracles and breakthroughs, things that we have never seen before in our own personal life, as well as in the ministry and what happens here on the campground. You know, every year we see the greatest miracle of all, not just salvation, but the transformation of lives. People absolutely transformed here at camp. So get ready, because you're going to see a whole lot of that happen this year. I have a few things that I'd like to share with you. In fact, this one's from my favorite preacher, and it happened to be something that I called out during the worship time, as I was getting some words of knowledge. I talked about that, the one vision that I saw about the distracting and all that thing by the thing, and it's the Mary Martha. You know, how do I be a Mary, a Mary's heart in a Martha world? By my favorite preacher, Maeve Moyer. Hey, you're one of them.
I knew
you're looking forward. There we go.
I knew when he said
hello to the good sister, Shelley.
I knew you
Clement.
Matt.
Sweet Jesus. This is a visionary realm. If you know God is changing a lot of things in your life, and he's moving you to a fresh place of vision and hope. He's starting to expand something, maybe to birth something, maybe to build something new. This is from the visionary realm. God's showing right back there on that side. Hallelujah. This is for someone who knows that they're called to deliverance, inner healing, freedom ministry. This is called Raising Hell. It's about learning to fight the powers and the principalities of the night. It's about deliverance ministry and... All right, this is the right here. Vicky sister, let's give her a great big
woohoo!
I have two impacts. impacting the nations. These are for two people who know that they're called as missionaries to go to other lands, or domestic missionaries. There you go, and I have a little background thing. I've got one more here. And,
good stuff, good stuff.
Your favorite preacher. Yeah. Just the ponder, not the preacher. How many of you enjoy the Facebook preacher?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of that you read on Facebook are ponderings that the Lord gives her in her quiet time with the Lord. They're wonderful, amazing direction, teaching and training. If you'd like just to ponder, not to preach. So good to have so many of you here. We start tomorrow night with Joshua Mills will be here. And Saturday during the day, we're going to have our network. If you're credentialed with Eagle Worldwide or you're interested in finding out about being credentialed as a marketplace minister, fivefold minister, missionary, or move your credentials from another organization you hear, you want to find out about our fellowship and network. That's Saturday during the day at the luncheon. What time does it start? Starts at 10, then we have a luncheon together. It's going to be a wonderful time. Huh? See Pastor Joanna. Saturday night, we're going to have a tremendous night of credentialing with Joshua going to be preaching. But anytime we have a credentialing service, a laying on of hands service, there's a great anointing for impartation that's in the house. Great release of power and authority. So you may want to, we're probably going to be bringing 24, 25 more people into the network. It seems like we're bringing 50 to 75 people a year into Eagle Worldwide Network across the country. So it's going to be a tremendous night. So come on out, and if you're part of the network, you know, everything happens here at Eagle Worldwide really in a place of relationship. We're a community and relational type ministry, no matter what. And we have a great cross-section tonight of people from all of the different churches. We have, we're talking about Will Bear and his wonderful wife and Josie from Montreal from Refuge Under His Wing. Let's give them a great cheer. The brother translates for me many times. One of the best translators in the French.
Cool.
So make sure you get over and see him and be here for the weekend, you know, be a blessing to him. We've got some folks here from his glory house in Toronto. And there's probably a few people here from the Revival Center. And maybe from the Nest in England. Wonders and miracles. How about Saturday Night Live? Woo!
The New York Nets.
The New York Nets. Ask them to get out. Woo! Do a Mickey Mouse back there. Ask them to get out. Did you see Israel back there on the camera?
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, he got this bad boy covered. He knows way more than daddy knows. It's so good to have so many of you here from different parts of Eagle Worldwide. We love and appreciate all of you. And but you know, it's that community and that fellowship that's so important. It's like a beautiful safety net, and unless you've been in trouble, you really don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
But I've been in trouble a few times. And the Lord seems to set up family around you. And when I see people who are not really properly connected and related to a church, I know that it's going to be difficult for them to maintain. I'm sorry, God will never lose his heart for local church.
That's
when
right.
somebody tells you anything different than that, run, because they're in deception.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lie. God is always for a local church.
Yeah.
It's the spiritual equivalent to family
yep.
that he first ordained.
That's right.
And I know, because one of the times that I struggled the most in my life and I didn't have the right spiritual relationship around me, I wasn't in the right place. So I didn't have the right support system. And if you've been a person who's needed support and gone through a trial or tribulation, then you know the real value of community in church. So plug in wherever you go, because local church, everybody needs a church and everybody needs a pastor. Everybody needs a local fellowship that they attend and that they stay connected with.
Amen.
It's ever so important. He doesn't want us to be independent or dependent. He wants us to be interconnected and interrelated. He wants us to fit. Like, none of us are meant to be an island. We're meant to walk and work together and to work this thing out together. And if you don't have a... Oh, by the way, did I forget the gathering place? We got a few from the gathering. Hey, don't forget the firstborn.
Oh.
You know, sometimes I've been through that thing with names. Names are tough for me. You know what I mean? I can remember having somebody that lived with me as one of our missionaries, was here for about 3 or 4 years. I knew him for about 7 or 8 years. I went through 4 names before I could get the name. So hang in there. If you're from the gathering place, don't feel bad. You're my firstborn. I love you. We're also going to have with us this week Fred and Val Bennett this weekend.
Yeah.
They'll be here for the network time together. They'll be at his glory house on Sunday morning. Monday night, they'll be at the gathering place. So they're going to be here for the weekend. They'll be here with us all day Saturday. They're our ambassadors to the network. And the network is expanding so quickly that we're going to be putting on more ambassadors and overseers over the next year or so to continue to work with, network with the people that are coming into our network. So I think you're going to enjoy Fred and Val there. They'll be back here on Tuesday night. It's their night here at camp. So get ready for that. It's going to be great. The 17th. Which I think is a Thursday, is Jim Bowen's going to be here.
Mm.
He'll be here on Wednesday. And how many of you know Jim
Bowen?
Yeah. Powerful marketplace minister. Yep. And we're going to have a marketplace breakfast here. He's a tremendous evangelist, so you may want to come out and be a part of what we're doing there. Tonight I'm just going to lay a little foundation about what I believe the Lord is trying to do. You know, he spoke to me... in December, actually, as I was seeking him for the year 2014, he began to speak very clearly into my heart about what's going to happen in 2014. And he said about halfway through the year, he was going to reveal and release great hope into the body of Christ. And starting about April, if you look at the prophetic sites and the other things that are going on and what people are going through and moving into, like the theme of everything seems to be hope.
Mm-hmm.
And hope is arising. Hope is coming alive in the hearts of God's people. This is the earliest stage of it because we are a part of the hope that God is establishing right now around the world. We are going through some chaos internationally right now, worldwide, like we haven't had for many, many years. We can see the end time revelation unfolding before our eyes, the end time alignment coming into place. We see the chaos and the fighting that's going on throughout the Middle East, not in one nation, but in many nations. This is a time to beware. This is a time to be solid. This is a time to be in prayer. This is a time to keep your eyes and your heart open, because it's a very changing and a very vulnerable season for the body of Christ. But as we come out of this season and we move deeper into the end time, we are the hope and the only hope that the world is going to have, that Christ in us.
Amen.
And that is the hope of glory. Just that they can see the truth. We have what they're looking for. And He is going to begin to work something new in many of our lives. Some of us have been pressing in for years. Some of us have been in this room for 5, 10, 15 years. We've been pressing into God, waiting for that right moment, waiting for that launching moment, waiting to be launched into the ministry, the calling that God has on your life. And I want you to know that it's close, and it's getting closer all the time. Many of you are going to be launched into your destiny. Some of you now, how many in the last 4 years that you're doing something in the last 4 years for Jesus that you thought you would have never done? That prophecies are coming to pass in your life, that you're ministering to people and in places that you never thought you would. Is that amazing? Just look around the room and you can see what God's doing. And what He's doing right now is equipping, empowering, building the body, raising us up so that we can be that light in a dark place.
Amen.
Because the world is going to get darker.
Yeah.
And gross darkness is going to cover the people fully and wholly. I mean, you can see it now. You can see it as spreading on and going around the world, but you're going to see a whole lot more of it in these next few years as end time prophecy continues to unfold. As we talk about the hope of glory, let's open up to Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1:27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, when you're looking to find out what God is really trying to speak to us in Scripture, I don't like to just take one verse out. I like to go a little bit ahead and a little bit beyond so I can actually get it in content and say, what was it really, what was the context that it was originally spoken in? What was it for? What did He mean? So that I can get the richness of the meaning out so I don't pull something out of there and try to make a doctrine out of one Scripture. Amen? I like to see really what it's about. So let's go back to Colossians 1:24, and I'm going to read through 1:29 in the NIV. And just to give you a little before and a little after, it says, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. For the sake of His body, see, we hear Christ, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we look at it, at just that scripture, and we try to apply it. But look what He's talking about. He's talking about heartache and affliction. He's actually talking about the life of those who have been called out. His called out people.
Yeah.
Right? Who were you and I, the body of Christ, who were called out to answer the call of God to minister, to build up the rest of the body. And He talks about the affliction that comes with that. He said, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. Mm-hmm. So Paul's talking about, this is right before he talks about this mystery that is the hope of glory within us. He mm-hmm. talks about how he is called out to minister to the body of Christ, how he's willing to suffer along with Christ. I want to tell you what, if you're called to minister, you're called to suffer.
Yeah.
Hello? If you're called to work with people, you call it the pastor?
Yeah.
Get ready. Alright? And the only hope you have is the hope of glory in you. On our own, we can't answer that call.
That's right.
We can't love the unlovable.
That's right.
We can't walk through this heartache and affliction. But you know what? That Paul was his heart from the very beginning. He said, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection and in the midst of your suffering.
Right.
And here he's saying the same thing to Colossians. This is his warm-up to the hope of glory that is Christ within us. That's the only way you can really answer the call. You can't have the grace of God any other way to answer the call of God unless you have a personal walking, talking, working relationship
Amen.
With Jesus Christ. Because
yeah.
you have no well to go to
That's right.
in the midst of the storm.
Hallelujah.
Now I rejoice in what? In the sufferings that I'm having for you. The Christ's afflictions are to become its servant by the commission
mm-hmm.
God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations,
mm-hmm.
but is now disclosed to the Lord's people.
Amen.
To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you.
The hope of glory.
The hope of glory.
Amen.
He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. He's speaking to ministers. You know that my heart is, and my belief, actually one of the root beliefs of my faith, is the priesthood of the believer.
Yeah.
That every one of us are ministers and every one of us are priests. Most of you in this room, I have seen you begin to bloom and blossom into the ministry and the call that God has on you. Most of you, I've seen you suffer through relational problems and situations that involve difficult people and difficult situations. And I know that your only hope of being able to fulfill that calling, the only hope that you have of finally fulfilling the call, of building up the body of Christ, bring it to a place of maturity, which is Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, the only hope that you have of doing that is to have a walking, talking, working, living relationship
Hallelujah.
With Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Just the knowledge of Him is not enough, but a relationship with Him, knowing that He is faithful and true, knowing that He is able to take you through to the end. And because there are some people that are relentless for Christ. And there are some people that are just relentless. Some people go through it. Whatever it might be, some people go through it. And some people go through it. And as much as I love them, the only kind of love that will ever work is agape love. Not man-made love, not love that's in me, because I know who I am. I have to be able to dig into who this Christ is in me and manifest agape love, forgiveness, and
Amen.
Hope, and strength, and a willingness to go on, and a willingness to start again, and a willingness to persevere.
Yeah. That's right.
Hello?
Amen.
It is not about starting the race. This is not about a sprint. Hello? I got to finish the race, and I want to finish well. And the only way I can finish well is in the midst of my trial and tribulation, that I know Christ in me, the
yes,
hope of glory.
Glory.
That I know that His name is faithful and true,
yes,
and He's going to finish this good work that He's beginning.
Yeah,
yeah.
That He's not going to let you hung up halfway in the middle.
True.
No matter how times, as it says in Proverbs, you fall five or seven times, but the righteous man's going to get back up.
Yes.
Right? Because the Lord is with him.
Yes.
He's going to
leave Amen.
Him. He's going to lift him back up and put him in place.
Yes.
He's going to shake him and wake him and stir him
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
Hello? I got to believe not just in me, but Him that's in me,
yes.
who's able to fulfill the promises that He spoke
Hallelujah.
Over my life.
Right.
That's what Paul was talking about. Paul was talking ahead, guess what? Colossians, you can't do it on your own. Hello,
right.
Canadian church, you can't do it on your own.
Amen.
You ain't good enough.
Amen.
You got to have the mystery of all the ages,
Amen.
The hope of glory, Christ
Amen.
Within you.
Amen.
You have to be able to tap that place to go when you can't go no more.
Amen.
When you don't feel like going. When you don't want to go.
Amen.
When you don't want to step back into that relationship.
Yeah.
You got to be able to tap a godly
yes.
love.
No.
And that's Christ
yes.
in you.
Amen.
That is the hope of glory.
Amen.
And the mystery that's being revealed
Amen.
In the dead age. Which is not just hope for us, but to be able to manifest hope
yes.
to a dark world.
Amen.
Woo! I got to know Him.
Yeah.
I got to know Him for real.
Come on,
I can't just know about Him. And I know a lot of people. I know a lot of scriptures. I know some people that are excellent teachers, but they ain't got no fruit in their life because they have no working, walking, talking, living relationship. That it's all logos. Hello? That there's nothing there. from a rhema relationship standpoint. Amen. They can't hear and they can't be said. Those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons and the daughters.
Hallelujah.
Those that have to hear the Spirit of God. They're the ones. That's what all creation is awaiting. The manifestation of the maturity of the saints, which is what he's talking about here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's trying to put us in line and talk to us about how it's going to end. Look what he says. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ.
Amen.
That's the work of a fivefold minister.
Hallelujah.
Hello? That's the work of any minister, is to equip and to mature the body, to build them up, to cheer them up, to exhort them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to build them into a mature place so they too can manifest the hope of glory. To this end, I strenuously contend. Hello? That I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
You know what Christ in you. You'll be able to manifest power when you think you're all out of gas.
Yeah.
When there's nowhere else to turn. When there's nowhere else to go. When your boat's taken on water. And everybody who was close to you when you were riding high has jumped ship. You know, because when you're riding high, everybody's your cousin or your brother. Hello? I mean, I got brothers coming out of the woodwork when I'm riding high. But look out when that boat starts taking on water. You're bailing, brother. Hello? You better learn how to walk on water then. But especially when it's in the old boat. Look at it, I might want to get my strenuously content. Oh, I'm resting before the Lord. It ain't that kind of rest, sweetie. You better get that out of your mind. Because we are not saved by works, but we are saved for good works.
Amen.
It's the work of ministry. It's that when you draw strength that comes from joy and love that's within you, that you can answer fully the call of God.
Amen.
In the midst of the trial and the tribulation. You say, when is it? It's not over. You know, just because we're going through, broke through, came to a new season, coming to, don't think that we're done. Because it's a lifelong challenge of the Spirit of God challenging the heart and the mind of His people to take us to another place, to overcome.
Amen.
There's another situation, another circumstance, because we are built in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm.
We are built in those difficult seasons and difficult moments.
Yeah.
We're built in the wilderness, in the valley, way more than we are on the mountaintop.
That's right.
On the mountaintop, we're riding so high, sometimes it's a little hard to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was riding real high like that and got knocked off his high horse. And sometimes that's what we mean.
Yeah.
We just get knocked off our high horse and to know where we're at and to know who it is that we serve and what he expects for us to do. See, when you read a little behind, a little ahead, now you say, what is this hope? You know, it's not just that one line.
Yeah.
It's not just this mystery that he's revealing to the Gentile, but that he's revealing to each one of us that our life can be a revelation to the unsaved. That we can walk out the call of God. That we can endure the heartaches of this hour, the afflictions of this moment. As we walk through that, we become the men and women of God we were called to do. Men and women of God are made and molded in the fire, in the furnace of affliction. That's the only place that he can really make us, because it's the broken vessels that he chooses to use. And most of the time, he'll use you and I in places where we have been broken. Where we couldn't do it ourselves and couldn't come back ourselves, but we knew we had to rely on him. And because he could do it in us, we know he can do it in someone else.
Amen.
So we have to face
necessary
to reach out to someone else.
Amen. Yes, that's good.
He was speaking of his serving and suffering in the ministry to the body of Christ. As a minister coming and bringing others to maturity in Christ. That's what the scripture was about.
So now when you read it, you're going to look at it a whole lot different. It may not be just what you post on the refrigerator, but now you're going to look at it as part of the mandate of a true believer, of a true minister in the body of Christ. You're going to begin to look at it now, so when you're in the midst of your suffering, you'll have something to grab a hold of.
Yes.
Because you realize that all of us are going through that, and so did Paul.
Yes.
He spoke of his afflictions continually, and he said, and out of all of them, he delivered me.
Amen.
It's the seal of the Spirit. This furnace of affliction, this hope of glory, when you're faced with hopeless situations, it's the seal of the Spirit that provides, through earnest expectation and relationship, perseverance to work through difficult situations and to work with difficult individuals for the sake of his body, which is the church, to build and to bring them to maturity. I'm called to the church, and I love the church. I'm called to challenge prophetically the church. But I'm always walking that narrow line, because it's very easy to come to a critical place when you're looking at the church, because prophetically we can see it with all its blemishes and all its pimples and wrinkles, and that there is no such thing as a perfect church. And the moment I walk in, if it was perfect, it's no longer perfect because I'm not perfect. So the church is in a battle, going through a struggle. It's a community of believers who are actually being worked on in the presence of God by the people that God puts them in community with.
Amen.
These are also the same people that are not only going to rub the rough edges off, but they're also going to support him and be that safety net that he has. They're there to encourage him, to strengthen him as well. But it's through the working relationship in the body of Christ, through the community of believers, that we are actually taught how to do the work of ministry and how to be a true light for Christ. So I can speak to the church in a way, in the spirit, that can bring a confrontation at times. But I have to know that he loves the church. He is absolutely in love with it. Well, the church is backsliding, you say. Well, he's married to the backslider.
Yes.
He loves the church. And he loves the local church.
Yes.
Right? And you know, some of us, we're looking for the goosebumps that come in the 2,000, 10,000, 50,000 people meetings in Africa and India. But you know what? You know what he said to the little church, to the local church? He said, "Fret not, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom."
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Fret not. That's what he spoke to the church, to the fellowship of believers. We need to know that his heart is for that. And you're going to hear a lot of prophetic people in this hour who say some things prophetically, and they seem like they really hit the mark on this particular item or that. If you hear them, become very critical of the church and tell you at any time you don't need local church, run, because they're in deception.
Amen.
If they ever come and tell you you don't need a pastor, you don't need a leader, run. I don't care if you're into I don't care if you're in Tim Hortons or Whitby's. Hello? Get up and run. Pay the bill before you go, but get up and run. Because they're in deception. Everybody needs a pastor. We need one another. We need the local church. It's the place that he works it out in us. We need to be connected. We need to be related. We need that safety net. We need other believers around us that are brothers and sisters. And you know what? We do the same thing that Adam did. We're human, and that human side of us. You know, when we do something with the Lord and mess up, like we all mess up. There ain't no man in this room that ain't messed up. All men sin and fall short of the glory of God.
Amen,
and
right.
Most of us, when we do, when we cross over the line, whatever the line is in your life, whether it's with other people in the body of Christ or whether it's with the Lord himself, here we go. Off we go.
Adam should have run to God instead of away from God. When you know the heart of God, you know that he's always standing there with his arms open, able to accept us again. And those that are in the body are going to be standing there with their, those that truly know Christ are going to receive you for that. Most times we're running away from the embarrassment or shame or pain of what happened, of either what we did ourselves, what someone else did to us, what happened to us, or what happened through us. We end up running away, when actually we should be running to Christ and to our place in the body, which is the place of protection, the nesting place, the resting place that all of us need. Now I'm telling you that because we're coming into a season of great deception. All you have to do is to look at the prophetic sites today, and you're going to see a lot of prophetic nonsense. You're going to see a lot of absolute nonsense. Some of those people ain't no more prophetic than the man in the moon. That stuff is not, I'm telling you what, every single thing tests the spirit. Test the spirit with the spirit. Because, and not only test the spirit, but look at the life behind it. I'm going to tell you what, I want to see your life. Hello? I'm going to see what you look like, what you act like, what you walk like, what you serve like, what you love like.
It's
going to tell me a whole lot about how much I want to test that word. I ain't going to take a word that I know from people that are walking with God. The purpose is in the plan and the will of God. Because I want to stay into that. It's a time that he wants us to raise up, to build up, to bring them to a place of maturity. It's actually, this hope of glory is the necessary ingredient in our hearts to help us to build the body. Letting us know that it's in Christ. Not just Christ, but it's being in Christ. It's Christ in us, but being hidden in him. You know, we talk about that place where we're dead in Christ, where the pain of that relationship, how we can get over it, how we can die to that experience that we have. The only way we can do that is to be found in Christ. He's the protective coating covering around us that helps us walk through these difficult moments of heartache and embarrassment and shame. If you go back a little more, but stay right there in chapter 1 of Colossians, he exhorts us to strengthen ourselves in him to walk worthy and to be fruitful. If you need it, you know, take it in that, just take it in the context of chapter 1, Colossians. That's one scripture, 127, is one verse. But for me to truly understand the verse, I got to look at what he was talking about. Hello? That's the way you want to read scripture, and that's the way you want to apply it to your life. He says in chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all with patience and long suffering and joyfulness." Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's tremendous. This is how he's leading up to talking to you about what you and I need to walk out this Christian life to a place where Christians come to maturity and can bring the rest of the body to a place of maturity, where we can actually begin to be people that can disciple and mentor other people, when we can be bodybuilders. That's what he's looking for today, is bodybuilders. And because he's trying to build up the body in preparation for the end time battle and the end time war. The mystery that is the hope of glory of Christ within us is the fullness of knowing him. See, our hope is actually in the cross of Christ. His person, that's the hope of glory. See, most people today are actually running away from the cross. If you hear the current 21st century church, by and large, they are running away from the cross instead of to the cross. I want to tell you, my only hope is in the cross.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus Christ. Yes. In the life that he lived, the blood that he shed, the resurrection that came, it's all in Christ, and it's all in the cross. I'm not running away from the cross, I'm running to the cross.
Amen.
I want to tell you what, true believers in Christ and true prophets are going to lead you to the cross of Jesus Christ and not away from it.
Amen.
They're not looking for an easy way out, they're looking for the only way out, which is Christ, the mystery of the hope of glory that's inside of us. It's in the cross.
Sure.
The cross is offensive. It's not in religion, it's not in church, in government, in family, money, career, or any other earthly or worldly or mortal thing. It is in the life and the death
Amen.
And the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
Yet the cross is offensive because it directly confronts the evils of this world and the evils that are in fact still left in my heart. It confronts me. If it doesn't, it's not the gospel. It demands. It doesn't suggest. It actually demands a transformed new lifestyle from me. It brings death to the old and life to the new.
Hallelujah.
Which is a new life in Christ, transformation. Nothing fancy, nothing new. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When they got some new fancy package, take a good look at it.
Yeah.
If the cross ain't in the package, if the cross is not the hallmark of the package, heads up. Because the cross is the place that the hope that is in Christ comes alive in every one of us.
Amen.
It's the place of the greatest victory and the greatest loss. It's the only place. It's the place where he shed his blood for each one of us. If you're running away from the cross, you're running away from Christ.
Amen.
So be careful, because there's... You know, we're no different than the Israelites. Right? Remember David? He wants to bring the glory in.
Yeah.
Well, let's build a nice new... We're going to build us a nice new truck to carry this thing on. You know? Get him a new truck in here. We'll put a new thing on the back. By the way, I want them nice new hubcaps on here. No way. They're coming up with some new way. I'm telling you, there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what Solomon said. Pretty wise dude. Didn't end real well, but he was a wise dude. And he said, there's nothing new under the sun. Alright? Be careful. They come up with this new, fine, polluted thing. And heads up. You got some people saying, we want to go back to the first century church.
Mm.
I want to be able to touch my roots so I can reach my destiny. But I'm here to tell you that the church that Jesus is looking for today is not the first century church. He's looking for the 21st century church. He's looking for the
8th.
The church that's going to usher in his glory.
Yeah.
The church that's going to usher in his second coming.
Yeah.
That's going to fight the battle and win the war.
Yeah.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
This is the church he's looking for. But it will not be absent of the cross. The cross will be the centerpiece of our faith in the church. It's the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ.
Yes.
It's all wrapped up in the cross.
Yes.
Don't run away from it, run to it.
Amen.
When you hear people saying stuff against going to the cross, run away from them. Don't listen to them.
Right.
Because you got to run to the cross.
Yes.
Because the answer is in the cross.
Yes.
It's in Christ.
The power is in the cross.
Who is not just a symbol of our faith. He's a person of our faith.
Yes.
Nothing fancy, nothing new. There's no other answer. There is no other way for Canada, the United States, or the nations of the world. There's no newfound way. You can't legislate it. You can't bring it in. All the money you got ain't going to make it happen.
That's right.
I tell you, we need Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
We need what he did at the cross.
Amen.
We need that
Amen.
One of our lives.
Yeah.
We need the cross to come alive in us to bring new life.
Yeah.
Salvation and freedom came with a price. Jesus paid it on the cross.
Yeah.
He brought life to you and I. And life is in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every day there seems to be a new book with a new revelation in a new way. With me, I'm running on back. I'm running back to the cross. It's only by faith and repentance that I can come close to him in a place of real humility, in a place of real hope. have to humble myself at the cross and know that he's there with me. He is my prayer, and it's Paul's prayer. Here's my prayer for you right now from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Paul said, for this reason, and you got to remember, he's talking now in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's look where Ephesians chapter 3 is. First of all, the book of Ephesians is the book of the emerging church. It's the church that's coming out. Right? In chapter 2, he says we're no longer strangers, but fellow citizens in the household of God, that we're part of the household of faith. He talks about being built on the apostles and prophets, and he begins to lay the structure for it. On the other side of chapter 3 and chapter 4, he talks about the fivefold ministry and the order and structure of church. He talks about coming out in spiritual warfare. But here's what it says in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Paul said, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, not separate, not by yourself, not a lone ranger, but together with all the Lord's people, his holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
This power that is at work within us. That's the hope of glory. Yeah. That's Jesus hard at work. That's Christ doing what only Christ can do. The cross of Jesus Christ and the power of the cross is the power to transform our lives.
Amen.
It's the power to bring us humbly to a place where we're willing to open up to the promptings and the urging of the Spirit to bring change in our lives. If we're honest with ourselves, it's those times that we've been humble that the Spirit of God has been able to bring us to a place of legitimate change in our lives. That's the place that we can meet him, in a place of humility.
Amen.
He resists the crowd. He resists the proud. And he gives grace to the humble. And the place of humility is a place where you can meet him. There's nothing in the birth, life, death of Christ that breeds humility anything more than the cross of Christ.
Yeah.
Don't believe it. There's hope in the cross. Our hope is in the cross and in the one who's in our hearts. No one understands him. So that we can bring ourselves and the body to a place of legitimate maturity. So that we can minister even to those that are difficult to work with and to walk with, that will take us through the difficult situations, and to the people who are difficult to walk with and work with. You know, we're just all not easy to get along with. And there are times like I wish I was never in that circumstance or situation. You know, because there are a lot of people that say, I can cut this off and I can go and it's all done. And, you know, I'm never like that.